This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final hour of The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel in studio on a Monday. We've got Barry for the first 3 days, then he's going to get some R&R.
Man,
and Santa Claus is going to sit in your seat.
I'm not going to lie. I love you guys, and I love doing this show, and I love what we're building here. I like the momentum that we've been able to get since February. This has been fun. But doing 6 days a week, I'm tired. I'm ready to just play some Call of Duty.
Check Nick out doing seven for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but it's all fun. But yeah, you're going to be playing some video games? Is that all you're going to do on your time off? You'd rather be playing
Nick,
video
sure.
games
that's
than be
That's a loaded
here?
Question I'm not I sure mean, you wanted to ask.
The traffic to Pornhub might go up a little bit. Yeah, it'll be video games. It'll be laying around. I say that, but, you know, I've got a lot of work to do in 2018. I really want to start to get myself out there from a comedy perspective and kind of grow my brand and stuff. So I'm actually going to be doing a lot of groundwork with that as well, trying to get that ready for – get that plan together. So I'll be doing stuff like that, but a lot of it will be drinking and playing Call of Duty and hanging out.
Good for you.
Yeah, man.
Good for
you. So I've got 3 days this week, 2 days next week, and that's it. So I'm
going to be looking at the projectors on sale at the different box stores.
No,
so that you
I won't
can project
be doing that.
The snowflakes on the Laminack household on the ranch.
My wife would never, ever allow me to put one of those up.
She's
That's
not
what
on
I was
board.
Gonna
ever, ever, ever.
Because no, really, Nick's no. disqualified from any kind of what's tasteful and not decorating the outside of a house.
I think I got
that,
some taste
right?
on this one.
Do you?
What are you going to put Santa on there?
You can do stars, you can do flying Santas, you can do flying reindeers, you can do all kinds of stuff with this thing. This thing is
Nick's
versatile.
Gonna be the neighborhood evangelist. He's gonna put the Santa flashing on the buildings, and then as the kids walk by, you go, "No, you know he's not real. That guy up there."
Whoa!
Now it's Joel's fault. Joel Blank said it at Pac-Man Joel.
I was referencing Nick. 713-780-ESPN
if you want to text in. Hey.
All right, so let me ask you, Barry, this, because I know Nora does the hell of a job with your Christmas tree. But on the outside, so last night I go to the garage and I pull out, for the front door, we have one wreath. And then our driveway has a gate. And so on our driveway, I put the other wreath. She hates them because they don't match.
Okay.
I don't care. It's two different wreaths, but they're at least we're festive. We put wreaths up. She goes, "Yeah, can we get some new ones?" I go, "Why would we spend money? These wreaths are perfectly good." Because the one on the door doesn't match the one on the gate. I could give a rat's ass.
Yep.
One uses red bows. Yep. The other one uses white. I don't care. Does that matter?
That would definitely be my wife.
Yeah, see, I guess it's a chick thing. I was like, come on, man. Really? You want me to run out? Like, can we just get one that matches the other one? Even still, I'm against that. We got two perfectly good wreaths. No, I'm not doing it.
My wife is so, like, so she decorated the tree for the most part. But then it came down to, there's a small space up there. So I need to put this little Christmas ornament in that space. So I had to go get the ladder to set it up to put one ornament in a space. And I was like, well, let's do this. Well, that doesn't match the motif of the tree. I'm like, really?
Now, there's another interesting question.
And
are you
all
into
the presents
motifs,
are...
or do you do, like, ornaments that represent you guys?
No, we don't have any of those.
Oh, we got a lot of them.
Well, we have, like, one or two. Like, I think I bought her an ornament for our first Christmas that said our first Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I think she'll put that, but she puts it in the back where no one can see it because it would mess with the way that it looks. But it's on the tree. But it's not. It can't mess up the vibe of the tree. But there's no way she would hang a wreath that didn't match the rest of the wreaths.
I figured.
Yeah, that's.
But like
none
we
of
do care. We
this,
do like
this
character
little
ornaments.
Splash of Christmas laser thing that
I'm
Nick
totally
wants to do.
I'm totally gonna invest in it. I'm gonna go to Amazon right now and buy.
But
it.
There's a house in a neighborhood that near. So I used to live. I still live in Spring, but I used to live about 10 minutes away, in a neighborhood near Oak Ridge. There's a house in Oak Ridge. That is the ugliest Christmas house in the world. It looks like Santa threw up in their yard. It's just, I think Stevie Wonder decorated their house.
Like anything goes?
It's I've never seen some. If you go by, if you you know how when you play a video game, Nick, when it first starts, it'll say warning: if you are susceptible to epileptic seizures.
I've seen that.
They've got a sign in their yard. No, I'm just kidding. They don't, but they should have one that says, "Don't come by our house if you're susceptible to seizures, because you will have one." Looking at just the it's warm when you go by. You can feel the heat. There's so many lights, but none of them make sense. In some houses, they'll line the roof, but they'll line the whole roof. And then they'll line the windows, and then the sidewalk, and then the bushes. But it's all neat and orderly.
Unified, yep.
This literally looks like Santa threw up in their yard. It's just everywhere. It's almost like they get a strand of lights and just throw it. Just heave it like a grenade, a one hand over the shoulder style. And then wherever it lands, Christmas, right there in that spot. And then, okay, let's move on. I'm going to try to get a picture of this house.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
It's difficult because it's at night, so it doesn't do it justice. But I'll try to maybe sneak out there kind of at dusk where you could still see. It's god-awful. I mean, it's like, you know what? I think Nick's idea of this laser thing would look better than this house. It's horrible. I give him an E for effort, but an F for execution.
But I don't give you an E for effort if you're just flat, if you're just like slapping a whole bunch of different colors and lights, just to,
yeah,
in hopes of making
like you have either pattern, either like use it has the to have some light finesse, or like the white lights, but don't use both. Like, don't make one bush white lights and the other one colored lights.
Where are we on lights? Are you guys liking the big bulbs, the small bulbs, the LED? Do you like different colors? Do you like one color? Do you have a where are we on that?
I don't mind a one color thing if you make it look sleek. I don't mind multiple colors as long as it meshes well together. So I get that part of it.
Right. Okay.
Now, I would be a little I could see how it could be aggravating if one little light didn't match another. Like, that's a little too picky. I wouldn't be that picky. I'm not that detailed.
Okay.
But like, yeah, if you just go all white or all blue or all red, right. I'm not mad at you.
So now, I grew up my dad used just the colored lights, but they were all, you know, we had colored light. I know what you're going to do there too, but we had the multicolored lights on everything on our house, but at least it was all the same thing. Right. But Lisa was like, pro all white lights. And then I found those new LED lights and I really liked, they were like, you know, almost like icicles, but it was really pure and white and clear. And so I went that route in the past, but the off all white seems, if you do them the right way,
yep,
it classes the whole thing up. It doesn't like you're saying.
So you said icicle lights, are you a yay or nay on those?
I've used them in the past, okay, on my townhouse, but we don't have them on our house.
Okay. Yeah, Nora would never in a million years let me do the icicle lights because, again, I would do it. But she's like, well, no, because it's not uniform. There's no, they just kind of hang and they're not, she needs it very neat and orderly and
so
everything.
So with that in mind?
If there's a peak, there has to be a light in the center at the top of the peak and then they come down. You can't, like, some of the houses, they go up and then just because of where it is in the strand at the exact point of the peak, there's no light. And she's never having that. See, never in a million
but
years.
But isn't that like the purpose?
And now you know why I won't hang them.
But Nick, I was going to say, unlike your projector, but to what Barry's talking about with Nora, it makes perfect sense. The one thing I'm a big fan is the netting lighting. Like, if you got a bush and you're trying to be unified, I love them because now you just pull out this big net and it's like a blanket. You put the blanket over the bush. They're all evenly spaced. They go around the entire bush and it's easy.
Love it.
That's ugly, though.
You know what's even easier?
I don't
the projector. You just put it right there. You plug it in, and you just shoot it right there on the house.
I wish the projector was just one like big sleigh, and it was just a cutout with a light, because then I could go over there and put something vulgar on it, over it, and then that was what would be projected on your house. That would be so good.
Barry'd be the guy that
just
found a way to project Pornhub on the side of your
just
house.
100,000 Virginias.
Even I wouldn't do that. Why would you do that, Barry?
I would, yeah. That would be great.
Teach the kids the birds and the bees.
That's right. Mandy wanted to know what console. I have a PS4. And then somebody asked, what's your go-to gun in Call of Duty? I haven't played it yet. I just got it for Christmas yesterday. My sister got it for me. So I will be playing it starting Thursday. Now, I am not an online gamer, so I don't like to get yelled at by 13-year-olds and then let them beat me. So I'll play single-player mode and that's it.
Are you a fake reactionary guy? Like, you open the gift and go, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted.
No. I'm not going to be like, oh, this is stupid, but I'm not, you know, faking it. I'll be like, oh, this is great.
Okay. Hey, yeah, I'd like to see you play online. Sweet. That would be
Call
funny.
Oh, thank. Well, you know why though? Because I had plenty of practice with my grandmother. My grandmother
and my mom.
Oh, we got to swap stories about terrible Christmas gifts.
I think we did this last year when I
did. We do it last
Dickie?
Year? Oh yeah, yeah. Because we talked Dickie. About the onion and everything else.
Yeah.
So that's why I have practice. So no, I'm pretty good at if I just get like salt and pepper. It's like, oh, okay, cool.
Like I said, in college, when my mom sent me a dicky, the mock turtleneck without the sleeves and the body of the shirt, just the turtleneck, I'm like, this is over.
Somebody asked if I lived in Imperial Oaks. Not anymore. That's where I used to live.
Oh, good guess.
Yeah, look there.
There you go.
It's weird.
Stalkers exist. All right, so Juan, we see you. We're going to get to you. I want to talk a little Sunday Night Football next. We've got plenty more to get to, and in the final hour of the show, there's still room for you. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, tweet us. We are here for you, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. She's a lover,
baby, and a fire. ESPN 97.5. Tune in weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. for The Bench. The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline. Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, final hour of the big show. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, as we continue to roll on. Before we get to anything else, Steeler fan Juan wants to talk a little Sunday Night Football. Juan, what's up?
Here we go.
What is that?
Juan.
That's the champ, bro.
I don't think he knows he's on.
Hey, Juan.
What's up, man? I'm calling my own team's defense out, just like Cam Hayward did and the head coach did. Thank you for letting me be part of your show. You can't deny that you might have thought of me when you saw that part of the game. I still saw more bad defense, poor tackling, and just the only reason why we won that game is because the clock ran out. It's simple. Your comments, sir. I'm off the air.
The number you have reached is not in service. Please try again later or try harder.
I wasn't sure he was talking to us.
What the hell just happened?
Was he talking to us? He wasn't at the get-go.
I didn't hear it.
Did he say something about, I knew you guys were thinking of me when you saw that? No, I wasn't. No,
I was not at all either.
Ever.
It sounded like he was going, here we go, Steelers. Here we go. What?
But he was auto-tuning it.
I don't know.
It sounded funky.
It was a bad connection.
He was auto-tuning.
He was auto-tuning his cheerleading.
It was a bad connection. He talked about their defense. Yeah, giving up 38 points to the Ravens isn't great. I think Harbaugh come out and said, this is a good offense. Okay.
No, it's not. And you lost Ryan Shazier.
Yeah.
That's why. Your heart and soul of your defense was not there. That's a big factor.
Flacco threw for 269 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. I wouldn't exactly call that great. They held him to under a 70 QBR.
They ran it down.
Alex Collins ran. Yeah. Alex Collins ran for some yards, but... Yeah, 38 points is pretty scary. I know I heard driving home from Beaumont on Friday, Fred and AJ are not feeling the Steelers anymore. And I'm sticking with them because I had to. But a game like that scares me when you see them go in and give up 38 at home against Baltimore. Makes me worried. Because you know who the other half of my prediction was? I think I had Green Bay.
I think I know that I was with you on the Steelers, although I didn't think anybody in the AFC was going to win it. I said Steelers as well. Now, I didn't want to be the homer this time.
No, you had the Patriots.
Did I?
Yeah. You didn't say Steelers.
You wrote it down?
Well, because I had to go back and get my picks from the podcast.
Okay.
So you had Patriots. I'll have to pull up the thing. But you and Nick both had the Patriots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last year I took the Steelers for sure. And I definitely could see your pick coming through. But the thing that, look, as long as, like we talked about this last week, as long as you get the best receiver in football and the best running back and a quarterback that's playoff experience that has won it all, you're in good shape and a good offensive line. Defensively, what scared me is the fact that Baltimore ran it down their throat. And with Ryan Shazier, you would not have that happen. And yes, Watt, it looks like he's going to be a good player. And Harrison can still play spot duty. But you need a guy that's going to give you, 90% of the plays with 150% effort to do the things that he did, especially to plug up the holes and stop the running game. Right now, it looks like Baltimore's running multiple running backs at the Steelers and just gouging them in the running game.
Yep.
So that's a concern.
All right, but I found it. Your Super Bowl was Patriots Packers.
That hurts.
And so that was your pick, excuse me, as well, Nick. Mine was Steelers Falcons.
You got a shot.
Yeah. That was my Super Bowl. And then you also did what you called sleepers and clunkers.
Yeah.
Well, you thought, so your sleepers were the Chargers and the Bucks.
One good, one bad.
And you nailed your clunkers, Raiders and Cowboys.
Oh, and I took a lot there of heat early in the year on those two, too.
Sure did.
And what did you
have? There you go. Well, I just had my AFC and NFC picks. So I had Steelers, Patriots, Raiders, Titans for the division winners with the Chargers and the Jags making the wild card.
Which looks great.
So I'm looking, I'm feeling pretty good right about now, although the Raiders pick might be the one that makes me look bad. And the Titans. One. Titans are fading a little bit, but I may have had the Titans and Jags backwards. The NFC, I had Falcons, Cardinals, Packers, Eagles, Vikings, Seahawks. So my division winners, yeah, were Falcons, Cardinals, Packers, Eagles. So the only one that looks like they're going to disappoint me right now is the Cardinals.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Nope. Not too shabby.
And then what did Nick do?
Nah, he didn't do anything. He didn't give us anything other than a Super Bowl pick.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
Sure. I can totally believe that.
Just reference Nick Fantasy Football Fantasy Sports.
If you want the updates on the awards, I can give you those since it's in front of me. Our MVP, we all had Aaron Rodgers.
Price is Right. Yeah.
Coach of the Year, I have Mike McCarthy. You had Andy Reid, Joel. And you had Bruce Arians, Nick.
Dang it.
Yeah. Offensive Player of the Year, I had Le'Veon Bell. Joel, you had David Johnson. Nick had Julio Jones. Defensive Player of the Year, I had Khalil Mack. Joel had Joey Bosa. Nick had J.J. Watt.
Dang it.
Offensive Rookie of the Year, I had Leonard Fournette. Joel, you had Christian McCaffrey. Both of you had Christian McCaffrey, actually. Defensive Rookie of the Year, I had Jamal Adams. You guys had T.J. Watt. And then Comeback Player of the Year, we all had J.J. Watt.
Another one.
Not good.
Tune in for our picks weekly because they can do you, well, a good job in the entertainment division. And a couple things. Story that Woj, as another Woj bomb has hit, Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting that LiAngelo and LaMelo Ball are in serious discussions to sign a professional basketball deal in Lithuania. The club plans to decide the next day or two whether to finalize an agreement to have the two American teenagers on their squad. Good. Let them go away.
Good
let
going, them bye.
Research stealing sunglasses in Lithuania.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
Good. Goodbye.
You don't think they'll make a be comeback, gone. Though? It'll take a few years. Bro, they'll be back in.
The youngest one's going to get a look, right? I still think the youngest one should have taken a one-and-done situation or better at a college. I think, for without question, LiAngelo screwed up at least getting 4 years of Division I college basketball to get better, and I think it's going to hurt him. So we'll see. And on another basketball note, you had a hell of a story about the Knicks last night and one Enes Kanter.
Where do you guys sit on Enes Kanter?
I like him. I think he's a good player.
He's a decent player. He's an offensive player. I mean, anytime that you're a 7-footer and you get rotated out for defense and rebounding, but you get put in the game to score when he split time with Steven Adams a year ago, you say, well, he can play, but he could probably be better on defense. But he's gifted.
I saw this thing by Ian Begley. He wrote it. He's a staff writer for ESPN. It said, Enes Kanter came to Madison Square Garden tonight on crutches due to back and hip discomfort. He started for the Knicks, played 18 minutes in their win over Atlanta, and left the arena again on crutches. If you want to make the playoffs, you need to make some sacrifices, was his quote. Jared Jack said he'd never seen something like that in 13 years in the league. Kristaps Porzingis said he's unbelievable. Doug McDermott, this is what was crazy about this whole thing. Doug McDermott said, I gave him a ride home last night. Now, this is before the game. I gave him a ride home last night at about 3 a.m. when I got in and pulling the crutches out of my car and helping him to his room. I was thinking, there's no way he's going to be playing, but he's a warrior. He really cares about this team. That dude, so it's not just that he did it for show. Somebody gave him a ride home. He had to get the crutches out of the back. It's like, if you're watching that, you're thinking, nah, he there's no way.
There's no way he's playing, yeah.
That's a baller. That's a tough
Here's
dude.
Here's where you really got to respect this guy. Because you think about this now. He fought the government of Turkey.
Yep.
He was put in jail. He was getting his visa taken away because he got into it with the government because he was critical of the government. That's one thing. But when KD went to the Golden State, the one guy that was the most vocal when Westbrook wasn't talking to have Westbrook and Oklahoma City's back, it was Enes Kanter. The fact that when LeBron got into it, when he said that the Knicks shouldn't have taken Frank Nkhili and they should have taken my man in Dallas, Smith, that he was the one that stood up for Frank, and now he does this. He's gone a long way in talking about what a true teammate should be and to show what kind of a player he is, regardless of whether he plays defense or not.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's a good story.
Yeah, never. He, when it comes down to standing up for something you believe in or even something that's right, he's that guy. I mean, that's one thing I remember him for outside of his basketball scope.
He channels his passion well. There's no doubt about it.
That's a good way to put it.
All right, we got a half hour to go in the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. So let's make it a good one. 713-780-3776. HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, tweet. We're here for you. Right up until 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. There's a place off Ocean Avenue where I used to sit. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects for the final half hour of the show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. We covered a lot of ground today, boys, already. But we still have more that we can get to.
Did you see these stories coming out? Two different stories involving New Orleans and the New Orleans Saints. One of them, the headline was, Saints coach Sean Payton calls the NFL hire of former whistleblower unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Where the NFL has hired the guy, Mike Cerullo.
The narc.
The narc who blew the whistle on Bounty Gate for the Saints. He was a coach and he got fired, and the Saints said that he was just, he got his feelings hurt, and that's why he did what he did, and he lied on their, Vaught, I believe was his name. But the NFL has hired this guy now. So he now works for the NFL. And Payton said, this was at NFL on Fox, at NFL, troubling report by Jay Glazer regarding league hiring of fired Saints employee. Unbelievable. So what do you think? Is it a bad look for the NFL to hire a whistleblower that they at one time were using to build a case against the Saints?
It doesn't look good. It looks kind of like a promise deal. And it just looks like that they, it just, whether it's true or not, it gives you the indication that they could have been in cahoots a while back because...
Like, give us the info, we'll hire you. And
the guy's saying, well, I don't want to do that because if I do, I could lose my job. Well, and then I won't get another one because everybody will label me with teams. Well, guess what? Would you rather work for the teams or would you rather work for the league? Because we'll take care of you eventually. It's a bad look.
It is a bad look. It was Vit, not Vaught. I don't know. And then...
Isn't Vaught past tense?
Then there was the referee, the NFL, this is the headline from NBC Sports Pro Football Talk, NFL assigned former Falcons player to officiate Saints Falcons game. And that was tweeted to me, and I looked into it, and sure enough, the Downs official, well, I guess Down official, not Downs, the Down official played for the Bears in 81, Rams in 82, and the Falcons from 76 to 80. His name is Phil McKinley. And he was the down judge for the Saints-Falcons game. And my question was there any, because I didn't watch, I don't remember seeing specifically anything like that, right? But was there any egregious calls made by this guy? Because if there wasn't, then what's the point?
See, I don't know if it was this guy, but obviously we have a lot of Saints fans that listen to the show anyway. But they were talking about Clarence, calls.
It was referenced because I told Clarence, don't be that guy.
Right.
That when your team loses, you can't just sit there and blame the refs all the time. Refs make bad calls in every game against everybody. But there's not always the ref in the game that used to play for the team, for the opposite team that people are complaining about that's getting all the calls or the calls are not going against them. So I find that to be interesting, but I find it to be more interesting that they would just that what's the vetting process for this? Because there was some stink made in the past about a referee that was pulled from a game because
he was a Saints
fan. It was a scab referee.
But he was a Saints fan.
And he was a huge fan. I don't know if it was of the Saints.
I'm almost positive it was a Saints fan that was refereeing Saints games and they yanked him off. They put an end to it. They wouldn't let him ref Saints games anymore.
Yeah, well, you should probably know where your employee's from, if he's a Saints fan, Falcons fan, Texans. You should know these things.
Or a gambler.
Yeah.
Or a gambler. You should try. Well, the gambler part's a little bit more difficult, but at least, you know, it's not like you're asking something very personal. Hey, what, you know, what's your team?
I'm saying from the
But this dude played for McKinley, the guy that was in the game, actually played for the Falcons from 76 to 80. So you know that a guy that you're hiring to be a referee in the NFL has played for the Falcons, the Bears, and the Rams. How do you not put his name on a list? And then when it comes time to assign it, you use these fancy things called computers, and the computer says, all right, if there's any team in the schedule that says Falcons, Bears, or Rams, yep, then this dude named Phil McKinley and his crew, he can't be a part of a crew that does those games. Yeah. But that doesn't happen.
Yeah. It reminds me of, because I don't know if you saw over the weekend, Frank Trigg made his MMA reffing debut.
Did he really?
Yeah, and he's a former fighter.
Yeah.
But if you would include him in a fight to ref, you don't want him refing a fight that he perhaps trained with or in is in Correct. The same camp, because he may I think that's like the first question you ask. I don't know if that's just laziness on the NFL part. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, you can't have like you train at American Top Team, you can't be
refing on an American Top fighter, Team fighter. Yeah,
especially like in a title fight. You don't want that, because then that just opens you up. But yeah, it's a bad look at the very least. But I think what you have to do is you have to look, take a step back and say, all right, was there ever an egregious call by him specifically? Now, you don't know what they talk about in the huddle. You don't know what they talk about when the referees get together, because you can't hear that. And he might be, he could have some influence. Well, what did you see? Well, I saw this. Well, yeah, then, okay, that's what we'll go with. But if, you know.
It's the Tim Donaghy theory. It has to be the referee himself personally is what you're getting at, because there's no way that the referees are going to be in cahoots together like Donaghy, the NBA referee that was caught fixing games and gambling on games and doing all those things. You got to do it on your own because of the fact that someone's going to snitch you out right away anyway. So, yeah, I don't think he's doing it with the whole rest of the referee team. But yeah, you're right. If he made a couple of questionable calls in favor of, especially if they went in favor of his ex-team, that's an issue.
Yeah. And shout out to Cody for trying to tell me that the Buffalo Bills are relevant in Houston.
You know what's relevant? The snow.
He said they're still in the playoff hunt. Yeah, they're 7-6, tied with the Ravens and the Chargers. This would be like somebody wanting us to go on and on about the Baltimore Ravens. It's not relevant in this town. I'm sorry, Cody. I'm sorry.
It was fun to watch.
Not
play
that
in the
many
snow.
People care about it. Was it?
I thought it was fun because I used to play in games like that when we were kids growing up. At least it was fun to watch them try. Because otherwise, who's going to watch the Bills and the Colts? Honestly,
nobody.
Vinatieri's kick was badass. The way everybody thought it was off, and the Bills were all celebrating. He missed it, and it hooked right in there. And it was like
looked like somebody
like
flew
it.
A drone. They were just like just curved it back in there. But then of course he misses the other one.
Right,
idiot.
It was the Saints, by the way, on that NFL replacement ref that was pulled off a game because he was a Saints fan.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, there's precedence there. So then why would you do that? Let the guy be a ref if he wants to be a ref. Just don't let him ref those games.
I don't understand it.
I don't either. Clayton wants to get in here, talk a little Saints. That's not shocking. Clayton, what's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to add to the strangeness that was that referee in that Falcons-Saints game is that he wasn't originally on that crew. And he was replaced, like, the week of, which maybe isn't that crazy. I'm sure it happens more than, more than we realize. But it is worth noting in regards to that to that topic. But I am curious because, like, me and other Saints fans are, I don't know what it is, are always, like, yelling foul play against, you know, the referees and the officials in the league. And I wonder why. I'm wondering if there's more of that in Houdat Nation than anywhere else, or if that's just kind of like typical Homer stuff.
I mean, everybody hates the Saints except for Saints fans.
Typical Homer stuff for sure. I mean, no. I don't think it's just the Saints Nation. It's not fair.
But I tell you, because if you think about it, I'm sure Patriots fans feel like the NFL is out to get them with all the cheating that they've been accused of and found to have done. And
all my hate goes to Joe Buck. I don't have time to worry about the
I'm sure the Cowboys and the Ezekiel Elliott thing think the NFL was out to get the Cowboys and Jerry Jones. Yep. So I don't think you're alone, Clayton, in the whole Saints thing and thinking that they're out to get you. I think other fans and fan bases, it's just not – like I don't think anyone in Houston thinks the NFL is out to get the Texans because there's not much that happens. But when stuff like that does happen, it's natural to say, hey, what the hell? Why does this keep happening to us?
I do think it's I think he has a good point in terms of the officiating crew, because my next point was, if you're not going to be a part of the official, you know, like if you're a former NFLer, I think if you're the NFL, you're going to want to hire that guy.
Yep.
That's just one step ahead that you have against all the other applicants that you actually used to play in the NFL.
It's experience.
But the scheduling part could be a total honest mistake, like an administrative mistake. Like perhaps whoever submitted the official schedule didn't submit it correctly. Like that could be an honest mistake.
Or the importance of investigating to the fact of, hey, maybe the guy they originally had scheduled had a family emergency, had an injury, had something where they were in a pinch, and then they needed someone, then you understand it a lot more.
Well, like the NFL is going to have to come out and explain that if we're going to give them that leeway. But yeah, I mean, I can see some possibilities where you can actually come to the NFL's defense. But yeah, I can see how naturally, if you're a fan, I mean, I've said it here at NRG, at NRG Stadium, and I'd see a bad call and I'd be like, that sucks. But it's just the way it is.
Yep. That's human. I mean, there's always going to be a human element, or if there's always a human element, there's always going to be people complaining about said humans. It's always going to happen.
Especially if you're a replacement ref and you take away a call in the end zone that should have been a game ender and ends up letting Seattle beat you on Monday Night Football.
My favorite one is when the one ref was like, he had a touchdown and the other one didn't. No. That was the best picture ever.
The replacement ref?
On the replacement. Yeah, that was hilarious. Was
the one
it the 13th
I'm referencing.
Season?
Remember the Packer game on Seattle Monday night, and all you got to do is knock it down, and that ball was like in the possession of 18 different people, and suddenly it was a touchdown. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of the replacement refs, but. All right, Damon, we see you. You want to get in here on that Saints game and the officiating. We're going to get to you next as we go to our final segment before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Jump up and get down.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back to wrap it up with the final segment of what has been a spirited and fast-moving show on a Monday for the Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Joel here till 4, then it's Fred, AJ, and John. And the Blitz. Before the break, we were talking Saints. Damon wants to get in here real quick, talk about the officiating in a Saints game. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Look, even before this information came out about this official, watching the game, the officiating was terrible. I caught the tail end of the Saints call, the last call, so I don't know if I'm going to be saying the same thing. But they had 9 penalties that resulted in first downs. That's a record. We had 11 penalties that game, and 9 of them were the result of it was the Falcons getting first down. And the ticky-tack calls, the roughing the passes, they only had 4 penalties. It's not no secret that the league doesn't like us and we don't like the league, going back to Bounty Gate when they suspended our coach, general manager, assistant coach, players. And then Paul Tagliabue was called in the appeals situation. And that result was reversed, and we were vindicated from the Bounty Gate thing. That was another one of the strikes on Goodell's record. So it's no secret that we don't like them and they don't like us, even down to the scheduling. Now, this may be coincidence or not, but out of the last 6 years, we've had 5 road games on Thursday Night Football. Might be ticky-tack, but it's a big deal when you're the road team on a Thursday night. So it's just things like that constantly add up. And then now this new revelation with the hiring of this new person. So it's just all of the little things that may be coincidental that keeps adding up for us to say, I don't know if it's, we don't have anything tangible to say it, but everything that we're looking at, it sure looks like, you know, they got something against us. We've recently started having some success. And now, all of a sudden, they're hiring new people. You know, just things just amazingly starts to happen. So, I don't have anything tangible to say it, but the show looks like it.
All right, Damon, we appreciate the call, man. Hey, I'll give him credit. At least he did his homework. The fact that he can tell you that 4 of their last 5 Thursday night games were on the road, that's not a good thing, but...
Well, I think some
I'm
people...
I'm really tempted to dig in and do some research and see if they were the only team, though. Like, I'm very tempted. I mean, are they the only team? Because that, to me, that's a big deal. But it is one, it's basically one every season, right? Like if
everybody
you are,
plays one Thursday night game.
So I mean,
but he's saying the fact that he's playing on the road on the that road. Makes it tougher for the road team, and I agree with that.
Because my memory is horrible. I remember the call on the roughing the passer. I think it was on Rankins versus the Falcons. I remember that, but I don't remember it all. So I did a quick Google. What were all the penalties, good and bad, in the Saints versus Falcons, and were they legit? Tell me if this sounds. This is why I say sometimes people just believe whatever they read. Mm-hmm. This was an actual article from the Sporting News. It says Falcons gained 9 first downs courtesy of Saints penalties, including a questionable roughing the passer call. And then it described the call. There were some legitimate Saints penalties, but also a few ticky-tack calls. What was the thing we heard in that last call? I mean, you got to take it with a grain of salt. Because, again, if you're not analyzing every single penalty that was called, were there a few bad ones? Probably. Is that an egregious difference between the two? Yes. But then again, I wonder how the Saints rank amongst penalized teams in the NFL. I need to look that up. Because if they're amongst the highest penalized teams in the NFL, then I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. The most penalized, then you should hear it.
No, I don't want to hear it from Saints fans crying, if they are.
Why? Because then it leads into their theory that the league is against them. They're calling too many penalties on them.
No, I'm talking about the specific instance of having a Falcons former player in a game against the Saints.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it now. But I'm just saying, look, that's why, Nick, you're doing it the right way. Sometimes if you really want perspective or to find out how out of whack your perspective is, listen to the road team feed. And just see where you stack up. Because a lot of times, the easiest and steadiest dose of reality you can get is when you listen to the road team feed, and you can try and figure out the difference between your opinion and reality.
I didn't really realize that. I've only been doing that for the Rockets games, full disclosure. I haven't been doing it for the Texans games. But yeah, it does bring a different perspective when you hear that.
Saints are 18th in the NFL in penalties. 6.7 penalties a game. Over their last three, that number jumps up to 8.3. Their last one, 11. And then at home, they're getting 7.2 penalties a game. On the road, 6.3. So they're at 6.7 penalties a game. Last year, 6.7 penalties a game.
Okay. Work on your penalties then, damn it.
Yeah. Last year, they ranked middle of the road, about 18 again, somewhere in that neighborhood. It doesn't have the exact.
All right, one more before we get out of here. Josh, you want to get in here on this Saints game stuff. What's up?
I just wanted to comment that a lot of the Saints fans keep hollering about the penalties and being. I'm a diehard Saints fan, but the penalties did not lose us the game. Drew Brees throwing an interception in the red zone lost the game. So even with all the penalties, I think that us, a lot of Saints fans, try to look for a reason why we lost the game, and Drew Brees lost the game. It wasn't the refs. I'll hang up and listen.
Nope, it's a fantastic point, because at that point you had a chance. And if he makes
you
a good
overcame
throw,
overcame everything else.
Yeah, if he makes a good throw or doesn't make a throw, it's a completely different. We're having a different conversation.
Yes, we are.
Nailed it. That caller nailed it perfectly.
The last call. Yeah. Very well done. Other news in the NFL. Not that it's going to change any playoff seedings or anything like that. Josh McCown, who's actually quietly had a pretty good season for the Jets, out for the remainder of the regular season, has a fracture in his hand. But overall, guy really stepped up for the Jets and probably saved Todd Bowles' job.
Yep.
So he's out for the last three games of the regular season. Christian Hackenberg, a Bill O'Brien favorite at Penn State, will be in charge of the Jets offense. So basically the Jets are tanking for the rest of the regular season.
And congratulations to Baker Mayfield, as well as Morris and Alan Trammell. Jack Morris and Alan Trammell for getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yep. So what was that, the Veterans Committee?
No, it's a stupid committee. There's four different committees now that rotate that I was like, what? I've not heard of this. But it was the Modern Era Committee. So baseball has moved to these different committees now. So there's a Today's Game Committee, which puts in people from 1988 to present. Their next meeting is 2018. The Modern Era Committee met this year. They'll meet again in 2019. They put in folks from 1970 to 87. So they've broken up the Hall of Fame and how they're putting in, instead of just the Veterans Committee, that was the old thing. Mm-hmm. It's now broken up into the Early Baseball Committee, which is 1887 to 1949. The Golden Days Committee, which is 1950 to 1969. The Modern Era of 1970 to 1987. And the Today's Game, which is 1988 to present. And they all meet at different times and put in people from their era. It's the dumbest thing.
It is. And next year, I like the NFL is going to implement the Saints fans who thought they got screwed by the referees committee.
The cry of fame.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, for all you Rockets fans, something a positive to end on. Matt Barnes retired from the NBA. He said he did it my way, so I guess that means you did it being an a-hole the rest of your entire career.
A positive for Rockets fans or you because you hate him so much?
Oh, many Rockets fans are with me on this one.
Oh,
but that
no
guy
doubt.
Predicated his entire career on being an a-hole. So, all right, at least he won't be in the NBA anymore. Hey, we really appreciate you guys participating in the show, and we're going to be here all week. Well, Barry's going to be here till Wednesday, but we're going to take you through the week and through the holidays and through hopefully all of next year. So if you want to join us, 1 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on ESPN 97.5. For Barry, for Nick, I'm Joel. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.